This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:05 in the evening with Lynn Eyman and Kelvin. So first up, as mentioned, this is the question today. With Malaysia being such a small country, how do we strike a balance between our principles and ideologies and keeping, you know, good relationships with different nations? Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said that Malaysia's policy, in line with this, is to be friendly with all countries, irrespective of ideology or practice.
Yeah, so he's more or less saying that we need to accept that we are a small, weak country. It's all about survival here. Tunem goes on to say, we want to be friends. We want to trade with them, but sometimes, of course, we find that they do things which we cannot approve, but we are unable to change other countries.
Yeah, so Tun M cited this non-interference policy with the internal affairs of other countries, and he said that the least that we could do is to condemn acts that we find unacceptable. So, for example, the oppression of Rohingyas, the Palestinians, and if confirmed to be true, the Uyghur Muslim community in China.
So, just to clarify, this is the exact phrase, according to the Malay Mail, that Tun M said, which is, we accept the fact that we are a small, weak country, and a weak country must learn how to survive in the midst of very powerful nations. That is the history of Malaysia. And that was the exact phrase that really caught my attention here, because it's unusual. Like, I'm not sure how many other countries and their leaders are out there saying things like this, like self-declaring tininess and weakness. I mean, most of the time, if you look at the rhetoric that comes out of other nations, it's more likely to be very chest-beaty. It's more likely to be like, we are the best, and here is why.
We are a strong nation.
Exactly. When I think back about how we are taught about our nation in schools, right, like how we're taught in sejarah, in civics, and things like that, we are always taught that we are just the best. We're protected from major storms. Mm. We have strategic importance because of our placement along trading routes. You know, so we're taught all these things, and to hear therefore small and weak is just an interesting, you know, shift of tone, shift of comparison, and it has me, I guess, reconsidering where we are.
I disagree with the use of the word weak, because, you know, when you say these kind of things at the international arena, it really doesn't help to for our morale. And when you say we are weak, then we will be seen as weak by other countries. So I don't agree with the word that is being used, but I do get the idea that is trying to be projected.
Yeah, I think it's the projection that counts here. Simply because we are actually pretty crafty when it comes to our diplomacy and the foreign policy that we employ.
Because, and our trade ties, actually.
Yeah, and our trade ties. On the international level, we seem to dance with everyone. Though, of course, that doesn't necessarily work towards our favor if we do want to make really strong stances, right? We can't necessarily do or make the strongest statements against what's happening purportedly in China, based on what Tun M has said. But then again, where does it make sense for us to make those alignments, right? We don't always seem to do that.
Well, that's exactly what Tun M is saying here, saying that we play well with all.
Yeah.
And if perhaps there are some ethical issues with the people that are sharing our sandpit, well, all we can do is use our words because, you know, we are small and weak. And then we're back to that kind of fallback position. So it's just an interesting concept. And I also thought that in the modern age, what's considered a weak country is an interesting thing to try and examine, because are we talking about the military?
Yeah.
Are we talking about
the economy?
Yeah. What clout are we wielding, right, in the global space? Are we just a small fish in a medium pond? I don't know. It's just that there's so many things to consider. And when we look at our neighbours, I guess, in the region, in this block, in the ASEAN block, I wonder how we compare and contrast.
I mean, certainly our diplomatic tradition is one of our strengths. Like we've been saying, we have we have good relationships with basically all countries except for a small number. And in terms of relationship with our neighbours, especially in the past few years or even decades, there has been a conscious effort to strengthen the sort of the ASEAN brotherhood, if you can use that word. And sure, there are efforts to make ASEAN great because they want to...
Again? Just great the first time?
Great, just MAG.
Make ASEAN great because they do want to create a ASEAN economic community and have like a free trade area and whatnot. But then again, this non-interference policy, in my personal opinion, is what makes ASEAN weak. Because, you know, it's like a, you know, it's, you don't want to get on the wrong side of your neighbors, so you're like, please don't do that thing that we don't like.
But we'll continue to trade with you.
But we'll continue to trade with you.
Yeah. So we want to know, do you agree with the statement that we're a small, weak country that needs to play well with others? Or, you know, is your self-image, I guess, as a Malaysian and our country not exactly aligned with that? Because I find myself struggling with that quite a bit. You can call 7733-2900 to share your thoughts. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this to speak with Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we've been talking today about a statement that came out from Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, talking about our friendly policy with all countries of the world, because we want to be friends, we want to trade, and we don't necessarily want to directly interfere. And he goes on to say, we accept the fact that we are a small, weak country, and a weak country must learn how to survive in the midst of very powerful nations. That has triggered in me an identity crisis as a Malaysian. So I'm just kind of opening it up and saying, do you agree with that statement? What do you think? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now, in the meantime, we're going to cross over to Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James, it's very good to have you with us today.
Good evening.
So what do you make of Tun M's statement that as a weak country, we must learn to survive among powerful nations?
Well, I think the first thing is that there's no such thing as weak or powerful Malaysia. You have to talk about different periods. But I think the starting point for discussion, I suppose, is that you really need to look at power in terms of hard and soft power. So when you talk about Malaysia having hard power, we talk about things like population size, how capable your military is, how good is your technology, all that sort of thing. And when you talk about soft power, you talk about things like culture, how attractive your culture, how many tourists you get, how many people you send overseas. So we're really talking about two different dimensions. And also, power, as we understand it normally, is not static. It sort of moves. So you can argue that at the present moment, Malaysia may be a bit weak, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay weak forever.
So like you said, there are a few different ways that you could quantify or look at it, because it's very hard as a blanket statement. What are some elements in which we might be seen as a weak country?
Well, I think if you were to talk to Mahathir in depth, I think what he's talking about is that for the last year, the new administration is basically trying to clean up the mess of the old administration. And he was probably referring to that when he talked about Malaysia being a weak country. And I think he was specifically referring to the economy, how they're trying to revive the economy because all the mess that was left out by the previous government. So I think he was mostly referring to the economy, how the economy is weak. And if you saw the last budget, basically the finance minister said that he had to clean up a lot of things. So I think he was referring to the economy, but I think things will get better. But I think for a small country like Malaysia, I think we will always have to deal with the big powers. And I think Mahathir is right. Previously, we had to deal with the two big powers for a very long time from independence, and that was the Soviet Union and the U.S. But now it's slightly different. I think times have changed. So now we basically have to deal with the U.S. and China. So I think he was also referring to that angle as well.
How do we compare to our neighbors in terms of strength?
Well, again, it depends on which dimension you're looking at. Are you looking at hard power? So obviously, if you look at hard power in terms of military strength, economic strength, that sort of thing, size really doesn't matter. For example, we know that in the region, in the Southeast Asian region, the country with the most sophisticated military, obviously, is Singapore. Again, Singapore had lots of financial power because it's seen as the financial center of the region. So when we talk about influence, probably for Malaysia, we talk about in terms of culture. We know that there are certain things that Malaysians are very good at. So I always tell my friends that it doesn't matter which part of the world you go to, you're likely to find a Malaysian professional working there. So, for example, it's not widely known in Malaysia that, you know, a lot of the F&B positions in China now actually filled by Malaysians at the senior level.
How beneficial or effective has it been for Malaysia, I guess, to balance between maintaining good relations and principles and ideologies, for example, in dealing with the Rohingya issue in Myanmar?
Well, I think when you talk about the Rohingya issue, I think that is far more complicated for a simple reason. There's two different levels. So at the formal level, you can't run away from the fact that the Myanmar is a member of ASEAN and the official ideology of ASEAN is non-interference. So you have that on one level. On the other level, when you talk about the Rohingya issue, you can't run away from the religious angle. And that is the Muslim community in Malaysia are worried about the persecution of the Rohingya Muslim community in Myanmar. So you talk about two different things. But I think by and large, this issue of Malaysia voicing out Rohingyas, it is not unique. There are other Muslim countries that have spoken about this. And I think Malaysia, being a very close ASEAN neighbor and fellow ASEAN members of fellow ASEAN member, I think Malaysia has every right to speak out on it. But I think at the official level, I think the position is that, you know, we will not condemn Myanmar openly. We will not intervene openly. We will try to work with them to find a solution to this issue.
Now, with that said, considering the non-interference policy that we're talking about in many ways here, both of Malaysia and on a broader level, ASEAN as well, how does that affect what we're capable of influencing when it comes to global affairs?
Well, in terms of ASEAN, I think a lot of people in Malaysia don't realise that in the international arena, ASEAN is widely seen as the most successful third world regional organisations. So if you look back at contemporary history, say from the end of Second World War until the end of the Cold War, you'll find that a lot of regional organizations have actually not worked. But ASEAN has actually become stronger and stronger. So in that sense, ASEAN plays a very important role in Malaysia's foreign policy. I mean, if you look at the two major planks of Malaysian foreign policy, one, of course, is the Islamic country, OIC. The second is actually ASEAN. So, but the problem we have in ASEAN is that because of the nature of the nature of pace of development, you got countries in ASEAN such as Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, which is fairly well developed, Indonesia. Then you got the really underdeveloped country like Laos, Myanmar, in some ways Cambodia, and very fast rising tiger economies like Vietnam coming up. So because of this unevenness, there will always be tensions in ASEAN. Now, in terms of your question about whether this non-interference policy is good or bad for ASEAN, I would argue that it's actually both. In some parts of ASEAN history, it worked very well because it means that countries can come together without worrying other members that criticizing their domestic politics. But in recent times, there are louder and louder voices in ASEAN that says that on the issue of human rights, maybe ASEAN should look at, relook at this policy of non-interference, and maybe on the issue of human rights, ASEAN countries may have the right to look at each other's record on human rights.
So moving forward, what areas can Malaysia look to become a world leader in? Like what areas can they like maybe capitalize in to become like a so-called strong country?
Well, the Malaysian government actually have tried various times, not only this regime, but the previous regime as well. I'm sure you all remember during the time when Mahathir was prime minister first time around. He tried to make Malaysia a strong country through his industrialization policy. So that's why he tried very hard to set up a steel industry. He tried very hard to set up a car industry. And also they tried to set up sort of a mini Silicon Valley called Cyberjaya. So all these major projects basically was to make Malaysia economically strong and influential in world affairs. Now, we can talk about whether it's been successful or not, but basically I think the government is aware of this, and I think the government do want Malaysia to be a fully developed country. And if you're a fully developed country with a strong economy, you will have soft power. In other words, you can influence the countries around you.
James, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you so much.
That was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, commenting on the remarks that Tun Dr. Mahathir made recently about Malaysia's diplomatic stance. You can send any thoughts you have through. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
6:25, you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. We've been examining a look, I suppose, at our non-interference, we're friends with everybody policy in light of a statement made recently by our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. And a lot of messages actually have come through, but we just wanted to start with a trio who are all saying sort of similar things. We have first up Jabba Sadiq on Twitter. Then we also have Sharizal as well as Dennis, who are all saying, Tun M is sarcastic. This is kind of, you know, a lot of angst over nothing. Sharizal goes on to say the audience could be his cabinet, who overwhelmingly decided not to take a hard stance on things that Tun has strong opinions on. Dennis goes on to say, you know, it's just tongue in cheek, but it is true that we are a small country, but growing well and moving ahead of many others. We are famous too. 1MDB.
No, I think even if it's sarcasm, it is worth looking a bit into, right? It is more or less a relatively new administration. It's worth diving into what their foreign policy is, how their diplomacy will necessarily take shape. And for Tun M, I guess, to also just say this on the world stage, it does mean something.
Yeah, it definitely is still something worth talking about, because this is how we see ourselves on the world stage, how our relationship with other countries are, and how we as a so-called small nation can affect change regarding issues that we care about. So if we project ourselves as a weak country, then it'll be hard to achieve whatever our you know, to achieve what we want to achieve on the global stage.
Having said that, I think a number of very thoughtful messages coming through about the definition of weak, or rather, you know, what strategy might be lying behind it. So, for example, we have this message that's come through from Lukman saying, weak doesn't mean unimportant. People who call themselves weak usually understand their strengths and weaknesses better than those who are merely claiming to be strong. Arusawan says, you know, Tun might have a strategy in saying that we're a small nation, and then a link to the Small State Survival Guide. And then we also have Jay, who says, I don't think Tun M truly believes we're small and weak, because the one belief he truly has nothing to fear will admit to some weakness and show humility, and those who are not as strong will boast strength. So there is this notion that just saying you're weak doesn't make it so, which I think is absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's as if you know where your strengths are and where your cards are, right? Knowing how to play your cards properly. And I guess perhaps that's what Tun M is trying to project.
Which is why he did point out that the fact that they have strong ties with all other countries in the world can be seen as one of our strengths.
Elvin says, at least some of us are strong warriors. Keyboard warriors. Jokes aside, being friendly is good. Saying weak doesn't mean we should be feeling weak, which is an excellent point. So keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.